Welcome to this week's weekly radio teleconference. This week on the Senate floor, we're going to be dealing with the Disclose Act and hopefully continuing with the small business legislation, and then potentially also dealing with Senator Reid's promised comprehensive climate energy bill. Senator Reid has said that he's abandoned efforts to take up a comprehensive bill before the August recess, but that he's planning to introduce legislation that would deal with things like the oil spill and hopefully pulling together some energy proposals from some of the other bills that are out there, such as Senator Bingaman's renewable electricity standard and the like. I am concerned that, first of all, this bill will not have gone through committee, so yet again we'll see a bill just popped out of the leader's office that will not have had the benefit of going through committee and being worked on by the both Republican and Democrat senators. And I'm also concerned that if he does just pick up some of the pieces that have been put out there, that they won't have the kind of robust provisions to support and incentivize. And because of that, I'm concerned that nuclear power may not be properly represented in the legislation which is introduced. But again, we are all just speculating right now about what Senator Reid may introduce, and we'll know only when he finally introduces it. With regard to this today on the floor, we'll be dealing with what's been called the Disclose Act or the Campaign Finance Bill. This is a bill that was drafted completely behind closed doors by the Democratic leadership with some of the other senators working with them to deal with the Supreme Court decision in Citizens United versus the FEC, where the Supreme Court struck down a portion of the previous campaign finance law as in violation of the First Amendment. This bill passed the House of Representatives recently with both of Idaho's representatives voting against it. And the primary concern that many of us have is that the bill seems to be not focused on creating a balanced playing field for campaign finance, but instead creating a situation where certain groups, in particular unions and other groups like the National Rifle Association or the Sierra Club that have very powerful membership, can essentially get exempted from the measure. And the net result of that, many believe, is to distort campaign financing in the United States, create winners and losers, and in fact, some speculate that this is intended to reduce the availability of financing from conservative sources and to favor financing from liberal sources. It's difficult to know exactly how all of this will play out, but the bottom line is that we need to have campaign finance laws that apply equally to everyone. Whatever the rules are, they ought to apply the same to every group, business, individual, or institution in America, and we ought to have a balanced playing field. With that, let me stop, and I'll throw it open for questions. First on the list today, let me get to my list, is Dave Plourd.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Could you talk a little bit about the legislation that you're working on with Senator Udall on the estate tax relief and conservation easements?
Yes. As you know, the general estate tax relief issue is one which we have been battling over for literally several decades, but for most of the last decade, we've been trying to make the estate tax, to eliminate the estate tax, or to at least come up with a compromise that would allow us to be able to dramatically reduce the impact of the estate tax on our small business owners and on our agriculture producers and others. Since we have run into trouble in getting the agreement necessary for an overall broad reform of the estate tax, Senator Udall and I have proposed legislation which would allow people to commit to their property to conservation easements and get a benefit under the estate tax by doing so. In other words, they would keep the land in production for whatever it may be used for, farming or agricultural or grazing cattle or what have you, but be able to avoid significant burdens on their families from the estate tax. The bottom line is that the tax code currently allows landowners to exclude up to 40% of the value of their property from their taxable estate when the land is preserved by a permanent conservation easement that protects important natural and historic values. But that exclusion is capped at $500,000, and it's further reduced if the easement lowers the property's fair market value by less than 30%. So to get through all of the complicated parts of this, what we are doing is that the average retail values have doubled over the last years and made the formula in the previous exemption much less useful. And so what we are doing is raising the exemption for land under a conservation easement to 50% with up to a maximum exclusion of $5 million. And it also encourages more robust conservation easements. So what we're really doing is updating the exemption so as it becomes more usable and more available to our farmers and ranchers so that the estate tax does not basically cause families to have to just dissolve their land holdings and break up the farms or the ranches.
That sounded like a tax return.
A tax return?
Yeah,
the answer did. Well, you know, we need to get a simplification of the tax code put into place as well, and maybe that way I could give a shorter answer to it.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Sure. Next is Leslie. Are you on, Leslie? Okay, how about Rory? Okay, Jason?
Yes.
All right, go ahead, Jason.
I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about your measure to end veterinarian shortage, especially for rural areas.
Yes, again, under the current law, under the current system, we currently have a shortage of veterinarians, particularly in rural areas. It's a similar thing that we actually have for medical doctors, shortages in rural areas. And one of the ways to incentivize people to move into the rural areas, particularly in the veterinarian community, is to allow them some favorable treatment on payback of their student loans. And so that's exactly what this legislation does. It creates an opportunity for favorable treatment to the repayment of student loans for veterinarians who will serve in the rural areas. And this has been found to be a very effective way to incentivize the increasing of the number of veterinarians in rural areas.
Okay. If I could real quick, I was wondering if you could comment on the nomination of a former Vandal to head the Marines.
Absolutely. I think that Idaho ought to be really honored that we have a former Marine a former Idahoan, a former Vandal, now going to head the Marines. I personally have had the opportunity, I'm spacing it on his name right now. What is his name? Do you have it in front of you?
I was kind of hoping you would know. Jim Amos.
Yes, Amos. I've had the opportunity to meet General Amos several times, and it's really a privilege for me to see General Amos move on up now and for the Marines to get the benefit of Idaho common sense. I believe it's also the first time that a pilot is going to be ahead of the Marines, and so they're going to get a double benefit there of not only somebody with experience here in Idaho or from Idaho, but also of a pilot to be in the leadership. So I'm really excited to see Idaho and the Vandals get that opportunity.
All right, thanks.
You bet. Apologize for spacing it on his name for a minute there. Next is George Prentice.
Senator, good morning.
Good morning.
I want to ask you a little bit about, we're a few weeks away from some good-sized loads of drilling equipment going from Lewiston across Highway 12. Idaho's never seen anything of this size. Conoco's got about 4. ExxonMobil is planning more than 200. Do you know anything about that transportation, and do you support it?
I know just some very basics. This, is, of course, is not a federal issue to my knowledge. It's an issue that relates to the transportation across state lands. And my understanding is that it would be a significant benefit to the not only to the port but to other business interests in Idaho, and would generate some needed economic activity. And because of that, I think it's something that we should try to see if we can work out. I do know some concerns have been raised by the tribes and by some others as to some of the environmental impacts, and I certainly believe we should deal with those impacts. But to be honest with you, I don't have an up-to-date or a detailed understanding of exactly what those issues might be.
One more question. What's Washington saying about the recent leaks of the intelligence on the Afghan war?
Well, we're at the early stages of the reaction in Washington. The first reaction was sort of, well, you know, we knew all of this anyway, which, of course, the Pentagon officials should have known, because these were confidential and classified documents that were released. But another part of the reaction, there's sort of a threefold reaction that I can see. First, Americans in general are very concerned about what this information is telling them. How effective is the war effort really being right now? What is the role of Pakistan? And is Pakistan an ally to the United States or an ally to the Taliban? And thirdly, how should we as Idahoans deal with it? Part of the reaction coming from some in the military is that they believe that some of these documents have been modified, but that only portions of the documents have been released, not necessarily showing the true picture of what was going on. And so there's a question right now being raised as to whether the full picture or the full story is being told. And then finally, there's a very, very strong reaction about just how did such classified information in such huge quantities get accessed by those who did not have a legal access to the information. And so on all of those levels, Washington is reacting right now. I expect we'll have much more detailed answers to all three of those questions. But at this stage, I'd say that the main dynamic here in Washington ranges from outrage on several levels to very strong questioning of just what is the true picture of the war, and does this information change the picture that we have received from those in the Pentagon who have been providing our briefing and our updating at this point.
Thank you.
All right, any other questions? Okay, thank you, everybody. I appreciate it. Sorry for the confusion at the beginning of this, and we'll try to get it more organized next time around.
All right. Thank you, Senator.
Thanks, sir.
You bet.
Thanks.
Bye.